Hey everyone, welcome back to the channel. Today, we're diving deep into a comprehensive stock analysis of Procter & Gamble, ticker symbol PG, one of the biggest names in the consumer goods space. If you're looking to understand whether PG is a solid long-term investment, or just curious about how this household giant is performing, you're in the right place. We'll cover everything from financials to recent performance, valuation, and even a SWOT analysis to give you the full picture. So, grab a coffee, hit that like button if you're excited, and let's get started. All right, let's set the stage. Procter & Gamble isn't just a company. It's a staple in homes worldwide. From Tide detergent to Gillette razors, Pampers diapers to Crest toothpaste, their products are everywhere. But being a giant doesn't guarantee success in the stock market. Today, we're going to peel back the layers of PG's business, look at their numbers, and figure out if this stock deserves a spot in your portfolio. We've got a packed video ahead with revenue breakdowns, earnings insights, financial health, and much more. Stick around until the end for my take on whether PG is a buy, hold, or sell. Let's start with the basics of who Procter & Gamble is for those who might need a quick refresher. Founded in 1837, and headquartered in Cincinnati, Ohio, P&G is a global leader in branded consumer packaged goods. They operate through five key segments: beauty, grooming, healthcare, fabric and home care, and baby, feminine, and family care. With over 108,000 employees worldwide, they're a massive operation. Their portfolio includes iconic brands that dominate shelves. Think Pantene, Head & Shoulders, Oral-B, and Always. What's impressive is their reach. They sell in nearly every corner of the globe through a mix of retail and professional channels, and even directly to consumers. Led by CEO Shailesh G. Jejurikar, P&G sits in the consumer defensive sector, specifically in the household and personal products industry. So a stable, non-cyclical business, right? Well, let's see if the numbers back that up. Now let's talk revenue. For fiscal year 2025, P&G reported total revenue of $84.28 billion, which is pretty much flat compared to $84.04 billion in 2024. Breaking it down by segment, fabric and home care is their biggest earner, pulling in $29.62 billion, or about 35% of total revenue. That's your Tide, Downy, and Febreze products, stuff people buy no matter the economy. Baby, feminine and family care, comes in second with $29.25 billion, followed by beauty at $14.96 billion, healthcare at $11.99 billion, and grooming at $6.66 billions. Geographically, it's almost an even split between the U.S. and international markets, $41.6 billion from the U.S. and $42.7 billion from non-U.S. regions. What stands out here is their reliance on everyday essentials, which gives them a defensive edge, but flat growth year over year raises a question. Are they innovating enough to drive top-line expansion, or are they just coasting on brand loyalty? Let's move to earnings. P&G recently reported their Q2 fiscal 2026 results, and they beat expectations with earnings per share of $1.88, just edging out the Zacks consensus estimate of $1.87. That's solid, especially since it matches last year's $1.88, showing consistency. The stock jumped 2.6% on the news, with trading volume spiking to over 18 million shares on the day of the announcement, way above their average of 12.4 million. However, organic sales were flat for the quarter, missing analyst expectations for modest growth. Management seems to be banking on productivity gains to protect margins amid inflation, but weak consumer spending remains a concern, as noted by Barron's. So, while they're delivering on earnings, the lack of top-line growth is a red flag for me. Are they just squeezing efficiencies, or can they drive actual demand? Unfortunately, I don't have access to the detailed earnings call transcript summary for the latest quarter to share specific management commentary. However, based on recent news, it's clear that P&G's leadership is focused on premium products and cost efficiencies. For instance, in China, despite declining birth rates, they've successfully moved upmarket with premium baby care products, which is boosting sales in an unlikely segment, as reported by Fool.com. I'd wager management is doubling down on innovation and pricing power to offset flat volumes elsewhere. If I get my hands on the full transcript later, I'll update you in the comments, so make sure you're subscribed with notifications on. Let's dig into the financial statements for a deeper look at P&G's health. Starting with the income statement, over the past 5 years, revenue has grown from $76.12 billion in 2021 to $84.28 billion in 2025, a compound annual growth rate of about 2.5%. Not explosive, but steady for a mature company. Net income has also improved from $14.31 billion in 2021 to $15.97 billion in 2025, with EPS rising from 5.69 to 6.67 cents over the same period. Gross profit margin sits at a healthy 50.68%, and net profit margin is 19.31%, showing they're efficient at turning sales into profit. Now the balance sheet. As of FY 2025, P&G has total assets of $125.23 billion and total liabilities of $72.95 billion, leaving shareholders' equity at $52.28 billion. Their debt-to-equity ratio is 0.69, which is reasonable, not over-leveraged, but they're carrying some debt. Cash and cash equivalents are at $9.66 billion, down slightly from $9.48 billion in 2024, and their current ratio of 0.72 suggests they might struggle to cover short-term obligations if push came to shove. That's a bit concerning. Finally, cash flow. Operating cash flow for 2025 was a strong $17.82 billion, and free cash flow came in at $14.04 billion, which is impressive. They're spending on dividends, $9.87 billion paid out, and capital expenditures of $3.77 billion, showing they're reinvesting in the business while rewarding shareholders. Overall, financially, P&G looks stable, but that low current ratio and flat revenue growth make me wonder if they're as rock solid as their reputation suggests. Let's talk valuation. At the current price of 115, P&G has a market cap of about $350.86 billion. Their trailing PE ratio is 22.10, which is below the industry average of 31.08 for household and personal products. That suggests they're relatively cheaper than peers. Price-to-sales ratio is 4.12, a bit high, indicating investors are paying a premium for each dollar of revenue. Dividend yield is attractive at 2.82%, especially for income-focused investors, with an annual dividend of $5.23 per share. Looking at forward PE ratios, analysts project a declining trend from 22.15 for 2025 to 17.40 by 2030, suggesting expected earnings growth over time. Enterprise value is $376.67 billion, factoring in debt, and their free cash flow yield of 4.23% shows they're generating decent cash relative to market cap. My take? P&G isn't screamingly undervalued, but the PE below industry average and solid dividend make it a reasonable play for conservative investors. Still, that high PS ratio gives me pause. Are we overpaying for stagnant growth? Now, let's break down P&G's SWOT analysis. Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Strengths. First off, P&G's financial performance is a rock. They've got consistent earnings, like that recent Q2 beat at $1.88 per share, and a gross profit margin over 50%. Their brand portfolio is unmatched. Think Tide, Pampers, Gillette. These are household names with pricing power. Global reach is another plus, with nearly half their revenue from outside the US, giving them diversified income streams. Weaknesses. On the flip side, flat organic sales growth, as seen in Q2 2026, is a problem. They're not growing the top line, which could signal market saturation or lack of innovation. Their current ratio of 0.72 also hints at potential liquidity issues if short-term liabilities pile up. Plus, heavy reliance on mature markets might limit upside. Opportunities. There's room to grow in emerging markets, especially with premium products. Their success in China's baby care segment, despite declining birth rates, shows they can adapt by moving upmarket. Sustainability trends also play to their favor. P&G can leverage eco-friendly products to capture younger, conscious consumers. Threats. Competition is fierce. Unilever, Colgate-Palmolive, and private labels are always nipping at their heels. Inflation and commodity costs could squeeze margins, as Zacks noted, and geopolitical risks or tariffs could disrupt their global supply chain. Consumer spending weakness, highlighted by Barron's, is another headwind. Overall, P&G has a strong foundation, but they need to innovate and grow organically to stay ahead. What do you think of these risks? Drop your thoughts in the comments. Let's check out P&G's recent stock performance. Over the past week, PG is up 4.44%, and over the past month, it's gained 4.87%. However, zoom out, and it's a different story, down 0.35% over 3 months, 5.14% over 6 months, and a disappointing 9.63% over the past year. Over 5 years, though, they're up 13.54%, which lags behind the broader market, but shows resilience for a defensive stock. Compared to the consumer defensive sector, which is down 3.89% over 6 months, P&G is holding up okay, but underperforming the sector's 57.55% one-year gain. Looking at the chart, the stock bounced after the recent earnings beat, hitting $149.88 intraday. Short-term, I see potential for a move toward $155 if positive momentum continues, but resistance around $152 could cap gains. Long-term, it's a slow grind unless they reignite growth. Now let's estimate P&G's intrinsic value to see if it's over or undervalued. I'm using a discounted cash flow model for this, projecting future free cash flows based on historical data and discounting them back to present value. I've taken their 2025 free cash flow of $14.4 billion as a starting point, assuming a conservative growth rate of 3% annually for the next 10 years, aligning with their historical revenue growth trend. I'm using a discount rate of 7%, factoring in their low beta of 0.39, which indicates lower volatility than the market. Terminal value after year 10 is calculated using a 2.5% perpetual growth rate, reasonable for a mature company like P&G. After running the numbers, I estimate P&G's intrinsic value at approximately $165 per share. With the current price at 115.15, that suggests the stock is slightly undervalued by about 9%. This aligns with the forward PE trends showing room for growth. However, my model assumes steady cash flow growth, which isn't guaranteed given flat sales. If growth stalls or margins compress, this intrinsic value could drop closer to $140. So there's a potential upside, but it's not a screaming bargain. What's your take on this valuation? Let me know below. Alright folks, let's wrap this up. Procter & Gamble is a classic defensive play. Strong brands, stable financials, and a juicy dividend yield of 2.82%. Their earnings consistency and global presence are big pluses, and my intrinsic value estimate of $165 suggests mild undervaluation at $150.50. However, flat organic sales, liquidity concerns with that low current ratio, and underwhelming stock performance over the past year give me pause. For long-term investors, P&G is a solid hold, especially if you value income and stability over growth. If you're growth-focused, you might want to wait for a dip or signs of revenue acceleration. I'm curious, what's your stance on PG? Are you buying, holding, or passing? Drop a comment, smash that like button if this analysis helped, and subscribe for more deep dives like this. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you in the next one.